reading is taken from the Gospel according to St. Luke, chapter 15, beginning at verse 11. To illustrate the point further, Jesus told them this story. A man had two sons. The younger son told his father, "I want my share of your estate now, before you die." So his father agreed to divide his wealth between his sons. A few days later, this younger son packed all his belongings and moved to a distant land, and there he wasted all his money in wild living. About the time his money ran out, a great famine swept over the land, and he began to starve. He persuaded a local farmer to hire him, and the man sent him into his fields to feed the pigs. The young man became so hungry that even the pods he was feeding the pigs looked good to him, but no one gave him anything. When he finally came to his senses, he said to himself, "At home, even the hired servants have food enough to spare, and here I am, dying of hunger. I will go home to my father and say, 'Father, I have sinned against both heaven and you, and I am no longer worthy of being called your son. Please take me on as a hired servant.'" So he returned home to his father. And while he was still a long way off, his father saw him coming. Filled with love and compassion, he ran to his son, embraced him and kissed him. His son said to him, "Father, I have sinned against both heaven and you, and I am no longer worthy of being called your son." But his father said to the servants, "Quick, bring the finest robe in the house and put it on him. Get a ring for his finger and sandals for his feet, and kill the calf we have been fattening. We must celebrate with a feast, for this son of mine was dead and has now returned to life. He was lost, but now he is found." So the party began. Meanwhile, the older son was in the fields working. When he returned home, he heard music and dancing in the house, and he asked one of the servants what was going on. "Your brother is back," he was told, "and your father has killed the fatted calf. We are celebrating because of his safe return." The older brother was angry and wouldn't go in. His father came out and begged him, but he replied, "All these years I've slaved for you and never once refused to do a single thing you told me to. And in all that time, you never gave me even one young goat for a feast with my friends. Yet when this son of yours comes back after squandering your money on prostitutes, you celebrate by killing the fatted calf." His father said to him, "Look, dear son, you have always stayed by me, and everything I have is yours. We had to celebrate this happy day, for your brother was dead and has come back to life. He was lost, but now he is found." This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Keith. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, speak to us now from your word. May it inspire us, teach us, fill us with your spirit, that we might serve you better. For we ask this in your name and for your glory, Lord. Amen. Well, good morning. My name's Kevin. I'm a reader here. And lovely to see you all on this lovely morning. Well, about 6 months ago, we were traipsing around Tynemouth Market over in the northeast when I came across a stall selling tea towels. And one tea towel caught my eye. It read something like this: "Teenagers, are your parents always on your back, giving you grief, messing up your life? Well, do something about it. Get a life. Leave home. Find a job. Earn some money. Pay some bills. Do it now, while you are still young enough to think you know it all." Well, that struck a chord in me, didn't it? Well, today we are looking at someone who left home, though arguably he went one better than the advice on that tea towel, because when he left home, he took off with his inheritance, so he didn't need a job, and he didn't need to earn any money. Until the money ran out, that is. Yes, we're looking at the well-known parable of the prodigal or lost son, and we will do so using the framework of the three characters in the parable. If we could have the first slide. First up, we've got the lad who was bad. Secondly, the dad who was sad. And finally, the man who was mad. And then we'll finish with some application, bearing our mind to the Good Father and the fact that today it is Father's Day. Well, this is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. It is about a man who had two sons. Then, as now, the sons would have an inheritance when their father died. Though if you go back and delve through the book of Deuteronomy, you would know that the elder son would actually receive a double portion. But the younger son wanted his share now. He was fed up with working in the fields, looking after the flocks, and slaving away on the living wage. He wanted to escape from all this mundane drudgery and go out and enjoy himself. So he went off to his father and told him he wanted his inheritance here and now. Now, I expect that, like myself, you thought the bank of mum and dad was a modern phenomenon. Wrong. It was obviously around 2,000 years ago. Because, amazingly, his father agreed and divided his wealth between the two sons, suggesting, incidentally, that the younger son received more than his entitlement. And soon the lad, who was bad, packed his bags and left home. And not just over the hill either. The Bible story tells that Jesus told says he went off to a distant land where apparently he had a great time. Wild parties, lots of friends, so-called. The best food money could buy, and wine and women and probably song. Instead of using his inheritance wisely, he wasted every penny on wild and reckless living. Until one day, the money ran out. He hadn't kept any for a rainy day, or in this case, the drought and famine that swept the land. His so-called friends deserted him and went out to find other fools, no doubt, to spend their money. And soon the lad who was bad was starving. He was so hungry, in fact, that he was thinking of eating the carob pods, which were fed to the pigs. And then we come to a verse in this story which always stands out when I read it. It's verse 17. When he finally came to his senses. The fact of the matter was that this lad was so hell-bent on leaving home, so intoxicated by the prospect of all this money and freedom, and so determined to have a whale of a time, irrespective of the consequences, he had taken leave of his senses. First of all, he was bang out of order. totally out of order in going to his father and getting his inheritance before it was due. It was like wishing that his father was dead and buried. And to compound matters, he probably cheated his elder brother out of a portion that would be due to him under the law. His conduct was a disgrace to the family and to the honour of his father's name, even before he packed his bags. He should have been working in the fields, not partying with prostitutes. Not only was he out of order, but he was out of his mind, leaving behind the security of his family, leaving the support of his family and friends, leaving the shelter of the family home and the certainty of a square meal every day. And finally, he was out of God's will. He didn't just take off for a distant land, far from his earthly father. He set out to stray from God as far as he could go in order to break every commandment in the book. And arguably the biggest and the saddest thing about the lad who was bad was not so much that he deserted his family and his father, but that he deserted his heavenly father. So it's wonderful to read that he came to his senses. Fantastic news that he decided to go home and eat humble pie. Amazing that he realised, finally, that he had sinned against both heaven and his family. So much so that he realised he was not worthy to be called a son. I wonder if there's anyone here today who has strayed away from God. So easy to do, isn't it? There are so many temptations, so much pressure on us to have a good time. At first it might be exciting, but sooner or later you'll reap what you sow. Like the prodigal son, you need to come to your senses. Well, next let's turn to the dad who was sad. For it was a desperately sad day when his younger son packed his bags and disappeared over the horizon. Maybe, never to return. Think of that. Never seeing one of your children again. Remember, there were no mobile phones in those days, no Facebook to keep in touch, no internet cafes to access emails or Skype each other. His younger son had walked out, leaving his dad broken-hearted. Well, needless to say, the dad who was sad lived in hope that his son would return. Every day he scoured the horizon on the off chance his son had decided to come home. And one day he saw a speck on the horizon. He strained his eyes. He couldn't be sure if it was a distant tree or a stray sheep. Perhaps he made an appointment at Specsavers. Well, the next day he looked again. And as he gazed, he realised it wasn't wishful thinking after all. It was his long-lost son stumbling back home. Well now, did this father pick up his shepherd's staff and take an afternoon stroll to go and meet his son? No. Did he plug in his MP4 player and don his jogging shoes and go for a gentle jog to greet his son? No. He got up without any more ado and he set off running to greet his son. The only time in the Bible where God is described as running as fast as he can to meet his long-lost son. I wonder if there's anyone here today who has wandered away from God, maybe just going through the motions. Well, if you have, let me tell you this. The moment you take the first step back to God, he will be running to welcome you back home. What an amazing, incredible thought that is. how God is so full of love and compassion. Well, when it reached his son, who was contrite and begging for forgiveness and offering to work as a servant, did his dad give him a piece of his mind? No. Did he take him on as a servant? No. No, he embraced him because his son had finally come to his senses and returned home. And the dad, who was sad, was so overjoyed to see his son, so happy to see him again, so overwhelmed with love for him, that he decided to throw a party. All the family and the neighbours and the friends were invited. The fatted calf was roasted on a spit, the best wine came out, and they had the biggest celebration you could imagine. But that's not the end of the story, because there's a third character in this parable, and it's the older brother. Because just as it was getting dark, he returned home from his day's work, and he heard a commotion and music and dancing. He saw the marquees and smelt of the barbecue. "Hey, what's going on?" he asked the servants. "Oh, haven't you heard?" they replied. "Your brother's come home, and your father decided to throw a party in celebration." Well, far from being overjoyed with this news, the elder brother stormed off to give his father a piece of his mind. The man who was mad was incandescent with rage. "That tow rag of a brother swipes half your money, abandons his family, leaves me to do all the work, and squanders every penny on prostitutes and reckless living. Have you taken leave of your senses? Welcome him home as if nothing's happened." Well, you can imagine the scene. Maybe the air turned blue. "And how much did this party cost? Looks as if the rest of my inheritance has been spent." The elder brother had come home from the fields, tired, hungry, hot, and had a blazing row with his father. Here indeed was a man who was mad, hopping mad. Actually, I've got quite a bit of sympathy with the elder brother. I mean, how would you feel if you were in his shoes? Thinking you had a raw deal, perhaps slaving away, unpaid overtime, minimum wage, taken for granted. Not a word of thanks, feeling a touch neglected. You come home to find a party in full swing and you hadn't even got an invite. And your father never so much gave you a small goat to barbecue with a few friends coming for a sleepover. And the best of it all was this party, this celebration, was because that waster of a younger brother had finally come to his senses, when the money ran out, that is, and realised which side his bread was buttered on. Well, I don't know about you, but I just stand back and consider what an incredible teacher our Lord Jesus was. I gasp in amazement that such a simple earthly story, so memorable, so realistic, could contain so much heavenly truth. It was a story that would be etched into the minds of those who heard it, so they could ponder over its meaning and unearth no end of heavenly truths. And that was and still is the genius of the teaching of Jesus. Even today, you and I can take away this story, mull it over, and let God reveal fresh truths about his character and purposes. Actually, it was aimed at the religious leaders of the day. If you go back to the beginning of the chapter, you'll pick up this point. The scribes and the Pharisees were likened to the indignant elder brother. And then have a look at the closing words of the parable. Those closing words addressed to the elder brother. "Look, dear son, you've always stayed by me. Everything I have is yours. We had to celebrate this happy day, for your brother was lost, and now he is found." Those words were aimed at the religious leaders of the day, upset that Jesus was spending time with the outcasts of society. And it was the sting in the tail of this parable. But what does this parable teach us about being a good father? We've got some slides to illustrate this. First of all, it teaches us that our Heavenly Father loves us as we are, but he loves us far too much to leave us as we are. And we too should adopt that maxim. We need to love our children just as they are, but far too much to leave them as they are. We need to be a role model and a moral compass to them, an example in word and actions and deeds. It teaches us that actually we need to give our children roots. Both sons had a home, a family, shelter, food, and tasks to do. Our children need stability in their lives when they are young. They need security. They need to know that we are always there for them. But when the time comes, we need to give them wings. Wings to let them leave the nest. It teaches us that we should let them make mistakes and face the consequences. In this parable, the father let the younger son leave home, stand on his feet, take responsibility for his decisions, just as it is our duty as parents to give our children roots. We need to give them wings and let them go. We are not to control our children, even when we don't approve of their decisions. This parable teaches us that there should be no favouritism between our children. Arguably, there was a little bit there, wasn't there? The younger son got treated very well. Our children should be treated equally, disciplined equally, given equal opportunities and supported equally. Favouritism between children can cause no end of damage and leave a legacy of broken relationships within a family. In verse 12, when the father agreed to divide his wealth between the sons, that parable reminds us we should treat our children equally. And this parable teaches us, like the dad who was sad, a good father will always be looking out for his children. Even when they have left home, we can be at the end of a phone, perhaps lending a sympathetic ear, helping practically, making a suggestion, or advising caution. After all, fathers have spent a lifetime making mistakes, and as a result, we have acquired a fund of wisdom and knowledge we can share. We can and should give advice to our children, even when they don't take a blind bit of notice. I am speaking there from personal experience. And we should try and avoid saying, "I told you so," when they ignore our wise counsel, and it all ends in tears. In the final analysis, like the prodigal son, we should let our children make mistakes and experience failure, but we should go running to meet them when they need us most. Interestingly, in this parable, the father never criticised his son. The only criticism came from the elder brother. Many years ago, when I was in business, I went on a management course about how to get the best from your staff. And there we were told that criticism is usually counterproductive and sometimes very destructive. Staff morale goes down, staff turnover goes up. But give someone a pat on the back, catching someone who's done a job good and saying well done, a note to someone who has done an assignment well or given client good advice, well, that inevitably results in motivated staff, happy staff. And we were also advised to praise in public, but rebuke if ever we needed to do in private. And finish with words like, "Now, come on, Joe, I know you can do better than this, you know, let's see you do it." We fathers should be slow to criticise, and hopefully our children will be slow to criticise us. But last of all, this parable reminds us that the character of God is all about forgiveness. All through this parable, we see this. The father scouring the horizon every day, running to meet his long-lost son, embracing him, throwing a party. After all that had gone before, this is an amazing response, but it serves to illustrate what a forgiving Heavenly Father we have. And that is the ultimate example of love and compassion. It keeps no record of wrongs, and neither should we. Amen. Let's pray together. Yes, Lord, we pray that you would help us, those of us who are fathers, to be better fathers, but all of us to treat our children and our children in the family of the church and those around us in our neighbourhood just as you treated that younger son, that prodigal son, that lost son. We ask this in your name and for your glory. Amen.